Good morning to each of you, and greetings in Jesus' name. Just want to give each one of you a hearty welcome to worship here with us this morning. It's good to see the house so well filled. And those we haven't seen for a while, welcome back. Want to welcome you to this special service, special and by the fact of Kiana being baptized here this morning. As we are gathered here this morning in a service like this, we are reminded possibly when we were baptized. Back, there's some of us been baptized for quite a few years, others more recent. But it as we watch this here performance here this morning, when we were at this point up here, and reminding us of our relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with the fellow believers. And as we sang here this morning, a desire to continue on serving Jesus. The message this morning, I'd like to bring a message on the importance of baptism. And when we think of baptism, we'll be pouring some water on Kiana's head this morning. But that alone is not going to save her. I could stand there with a 5-gallon bucket of water and have her right beside the Atlantic Ocean. I could just keep dumping that whole Atlantic Ocean on her head, and that alone is not going to save her. Might drown her, but it's not going to save her. It's when we allow Christ into our lives. She had made that decision some time ago to allow Jesus to come into her life. And she made a desire, she made a commitment, she made a promise that she was going to follow him the rest of her life. This baptizing this morning, it's just an outward act of something that happened within. And the Bible teaches that baptism for a penitent believer is necessary. That word penitent means having a regret for our sins. You can turn with me a while to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read some verses from this chapter. But in today's society, the question comes up, is baptism all that necessary? We see that in society around us. Well, we'll see in our message here today how important it is. How necessary it is to be a child of God. Acts 2, I'm just going to read several verses here. This here was at the day of Pentecost, and when Paul was preaching there at the day of Pentecost. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Now there was a group of people here. And then verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm going to skip a few verses, I'm just going to say a little bit of what he's saying. He is telling them of this Jesus. How he was buried. He is now alive again. He is risen. And he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. And at the end of his message, I mean, he was really getting the people's attention. And then verse 30, I want to read verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So is it important? I believe these words that Paul had mentioned here, repent and be baptized, they're still relevant for us today. They were important for them back then. They're still important for us today. Repent and be baptized. Jesus began his early ministry, and he was only, well, we can turn, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he had a desire to be baptized himself. It says in verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. So why did Jesus see it necessary to be born or be baptized? I mean, we talk about being baptized now, the being sorry for our sins, but Jesus didn't have, he wasn't, He never sinned. I want to turn to a scripture verse in Matthew 3, verse 15. Again, talking about Jesus being baptized, and Jesus answering unto him, suffer it now, or we could say allow. That word suffer means to allow. Suffer it now. No, I'm sorry. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So he was, his desire was to do the will of the Father. And we can see obedience there. Jesus began his ministry, and then with the desire, he said, and he, that I read here, to be baptized. For us to see the importance of baptism. Then he ended up his earthly ministry, telling the disciples, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized and shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, or we could say be condemned. So, baptism was important to Jesus, and we can see it's important to us as well. There are some things here this morning we want to notice about the believer's baptism. Well, first of all, before we do that, I want to read the first 11 verses here in Mark 1, chapter 1, 1 through 11. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I have some questions here this morning. Who is prepared to be baptized? How do you prepare yourself for baptism? What is the prerequisite for baptism? In other words, what is the requirement beforehand? Well, starting out with the first one, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel speaking of God's word. Then in verse 2 and verse 3, he talks about preparation for baptism, preparing oneself for baptism. Now, in those days, when when a king or someone of high office, someone of high degree, was going to make a journey to go somewhere, the people didn't want him to be inconvenienced in any way, so they went out. And they made these crooked ways, they made them straight. They knocked out the hills as much as they could, made things level, straightened things up for this person to come. Now John says we had better prepare that way for the coming of the Lord. We need, as it were, to get some excavating equipment out there, get a bulldozer out there and straighten these crooked ways. Take out the high spots. These crooked ways, meaning we think of this bulldozer. I use the term bulldozer. We know how they can straighten things up. But think of this bulldozer as repentance. What does repentance do? It breaks down the mountain of pride. It fills up the valleys of pleasure. It straightens the crooked ways of deceit that comes into our lives. It makes a road for which our Lord can come into that wilderness, that parched desert of our lives, to bring His reviving power. He wants to come on a royal road of repentance. When we have changed our lives and got rid of all that filth, all that junk that needs to be done away with. Now we said earlier that baptism is an outward sign of an inward decision. That outward sign that you have repented of your old ways. So we see the preparation of baptism is repentance. Now Jesus preached repentance. Let's look at verse 14 and 15 now. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." That's Jesus' words. He is saying, repent or perish. What is repentance anyway? Well, the Greek word for repentance is metanoma, which means to change your mind. It's a turning around, it's a changing, it's a complete change of the way we used to think. Repentance involves several things. It involves a conviction of sin. Nobody is going to repent until, first of all, they are convinced of their sins. They are convinced that they have sinned and they are convicted that they have done wrong. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. He convicts us of our wrongdoing, convicts us of our sin. Not only is there a conviction of sin, there must be a confession of sin. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You know, we need to be willing. We need to have a desire to outwardly and openly confess our sins before man and before Christ. We need to be able to, we need to lay that pride that was once a part of us, do away with it. There's a song that goes, a little chorus, it's me again, it's me, it's me, it's me again, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, when we turn our backs on Satan, we renounce sin, and we allow Christ to come into our lives. Is it now a bed of roses? I wish you could say it was. But Satan is going to be there more than ever, and he's going to try to pull us away from serving Jesus. I don't care how old we are. That temptation never leaves. We need to be on guard. Satan is going to be there. We need the prayer. There's a song, I need the prayers of those I love. And you know, we need, as brothers and sisters, we need to be praying for each other. We will need to pray for Kiana as she moves forward from this day forward. She's going to be tempted, just like the rest of us. But the beautiful part is we can be faithful. He is there by our side, and he's going to help us. Thirdly, there's a need for contrition for sin. What does contrition mean? It means a sincere penitence of or remorse. You know, probably every one of us here, if we think hard enough, remember the days we got a whooping from our dad. Why did we get a whooping from our dad? Probably because we did something that we shouldn't have done. We broke one of dad's laws, and we had to meet the consequences. And you know, my dad told me already, he says, son, you know, it hurts me just as much to give you a whipping as what it does is receive, being on the receiving end. And when my dad whipped, I mean, he knew how to do it. And he had seven children to do it on. And yeah, he could lay it on. But he told me it hurt him just as much as it hurt me. And you know, we as God's children, we need to come to the place where it breaks our heart to know that we broke the heart of a loving God, of our Heavenly Father. And when we come to that point, that is godly sorrow. Then there needs to be a conversion from sin. The word repentance literally means a change of mind. There was a man back in the late 1800s by the name of Billy Sunday. He was a professional baseball player. He played the outfield. He made a name for himself. He left sports behind. He became an evangelist back in the day, a well-known evangelist. And Billy made the illustration a little like this. Billy was a very nimble man because of his interaction with sports. He did a lot of exercise. He was very nimble. And he did it this way. He illustrated it this way. He said, I can be walking this way. I could have my head set on doing my own thing. Jesus Christ comes into my life, and I decide I'm going to turn the other way. And what Billy did, he did a backflip and turned the other way. Now, if each one of us relied on a backflip to be saved, we probably wouldn't be too many here to be saved. But that was his way of illustrating it. We need to complete what he was saying. We need to completely turn away from the old life and live an entirely different life. We need to have that change of mind. That change of mind about sin, about self, about Satan. So repentance is turning from sin, changing the direction of your life from selfishness and rebellion against God's law. And at the same time, we must turn to Christ, depending on Him for forgiveness, for mercy, for guidance, for purpose in life. You know, we cannot save ourselves. Only God can do that. And He did that by sending His Son on the cross. And Jesus willingly gave His life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, some people say they killed Jesus. No, they didn't kill Jesus. He gave His life. They tortured Jesus, yes, but He gave His life for you and for me. Baptism shows identification with Christ and with the fellowship of believers. You know, water, like I said before, water baptism does not save or wash away our sins, but it is commanded that we need to be baptized after conversion. Now, just a word of mode or method. Now, I realize we have different people here have different ideas of baptism. Some people immerse, and that is fine with me. I have no problem against that. We choose as a group of Anabaptist believers to have the pouring of the water on the head. It's my understanding that the early Anabaptist followers were baptized with the mode of pouring water on the head. But through the years, different people got the idea of being immersed, and I can see where that comes from. Jesus was baptized in the water. It says when He come up out of the water, He looked up to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came upon Him like a dove and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But we need, no matter how you do it, if you're immersed or if you're just poured on, sprinkled on with water, we need to identify. Let's turn to Romans. Romans 6, I want to read verses 3 to 5. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead of the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection." Baptism symbolizes that just as Christ died, just as Christ was buried, and just as He rose again, so the believer has died, has been buried to self, and now has a new life in Christ. Baptism symbolizes that the believer is now a new creature in Christ. Being a new creature in Christ is reflected in the term baptism. The term baptism in the Greek the term baptizo is a term of when they would dye a piece of cloth. They would dip this cloth in the dye vat. When it went in, it looked a certain way. When it come out of that dye, it looked completely different. And you know, that's what it is, a new creature in Christ, that our lives are now changed. Yes, Kiana looks just like she did as now she always did. She looks the same on the outside. But there's a new change on the inside. She went from serving self to Jesus. She is now serving Jesus, putting him on the pedestal. She took self off and put the Savior on. And you know, those who know her best could probably see a change in her. I'm sure they could see a change in her life after her conversion versus before. And that's the way it should be. Each one of us. We are no longer serving self, but we are serving Almighty God, or Jesus, our Savior. And the world around is going to, people around us, people that are familiar with us, are going to see that difference. So as we move on from here, let's keep Kiana in our prayers, and each one of us as we serve the Lord.